I hope that's your prayer and your hope this morning, is that you understand He is very marvelous. He loves you. And that is His message of hope this morning. Thank you, band people. Thank you, Jason and Abby, for stepping in last minute. Some of you are like, kind of wondering, where are the Habs at today? They're sick. The flu bug got them a couple days ago. So Jason got thrown the task of leading us this morning. So make sure you tell him thank you for that. Because that was some of my song requests. Like, yeah, and I want you to do this one too. I haven't sang Because He Lives. I can't tell you how long. Clay, have we ever sung that together in here, Because He Lives? Man, I don't know, right? So, and that fits what we're actually talking about today, because we're talking about the topic of fear as we see it in the Easter story. And I want you all to leave here today understanding that because He lives, you can face tomorrow. You shouldn't be afraid of that. So without further ado, let me first introduce myself, because many of you are visiting. You're here with family. My name is Jody May. I get to be the teaching pastor here at Highlands. Some of you all met Pastor Bill earlier. Here's our other pastor here. So wonderful to have you here today. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading the resurrection account in the scripture today from the book of Matthew. We'll have the passages on screen, but if you would like to follow along in your Bible, please feel more than welcome to do so. As well, in your bulletins this morning, if you got one before you ran out, we have some simple notes in there. I don't try to do a whole lot of you filling in the blanks, but I have the main points for the notes, and feel free to write notes, keep notes, ask me questions afterwards, and I'll email you back, because I won't have time to talk to you today. No, I'm just joking. I'd love to talk to all of y'all. Matter of fact, if you're visiting, please make sure you come by and say hey today. I'd love to get a chance to see you, all right? But before we get into it, let's first open up with a word of prayer, shall we? Because we definitely need God this morning, in all ways and all things. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. Father, we ask that right now, dear Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, your victory over death and sin through the second being in the Trinity. We thank you for this, Lord. Right now, Lord, as we come to your word in Matthew 28, as we read about the resurrection account, Father, in there is a great victory from the empty tomb today. Many of us in this room today came, dear Lord, under the power of fear in our lives this morning. Things that we are scared of, things that we are encountering in our world, things that we are having a hard time to face. And Father, we ask right now, dear Lord, that you would help us see the beauty of your Son and what he has done for us so that we may walk out of here a little bit less afraid this morning as we are overfilled with joy for what you have done. And for we pray this, and we ask right now, dear Lord, that you would please calm our spirits, open our ears to hear your word, our eyes to see, and let me speak only what you would have me say this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's go ahead and go to our text this morning. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 28, we'll be reading through verse 10. It says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. And as he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. This is God's word. So this morning, we are witnessing the first preaching of the gospel post-resurrection. If you haven't been here, or if you've not been with us, if you're visiting today, we've been preaching through the book of Luke. We're actually in chapter 7 of the book of Luke. Probably is entering to his last year of ministry. He's preaching the gospel himself, but it's all pre-resurrection. To everybody he's talking to, a lot of what he's talking about doesn't make sense yet. We're seeing the first gospel, the first time it hits the ears of people who follow Jesus, and we're seeing them react to it in light of the empty tomb. This is special. Don't miss this. This is God speaking after the revelation of who his son really was. And we are witnessing what the gospel attacks very first thing. The gospel, let me tell you, is an offensive thing. You may be in here tonight, today, and I may say some things, and you may not like it. Please understand, don't blame me, blame the gospel. That's the easy way, it's easy cop out, isn't it? But that is the gospel. The gospel attacks what's wrong with us. It attacks our hearts and gives us hope. So this morning, we're going to see what it is, the gospel, first thing it attacks in these ladies' lives, in our story, and in your life, with faith to believe in the good news of the resurrection. Here's what it is attacking. It's attacking what is an emotional response to when we have sin in our lives. Here's the word, and you maybe saw it in your text today. Fear. Fear. Many of you were in Sunday school, our foundations class this morning, and we talked about how does fear give way to the empty tomb. And that's what we're going to unpack today. Fear is something that we live with every day of our lives, wouldn't you say so? And to some extent, even if you have a good day, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, you're going to have some point in your day, you're going to be afraid of something. It happens. Matter of fact, this morning, I tried not to read any headlines. I've been media free for about 24 hours. I just want to see the headlines because I wanted to prove something to myself that the devil is trying to attack us. And sure enough, there was a bombing over the Middle East and Christian churches were bombed. It was there because you know what the number one weapon of the enemy is? Fear. It's fear. Irrational fear. We deal with it all the time. But it was confronted in the story we just read. And I want to show us all now why and how fear, listen to me, must give way. It must take a back seat. It must decrease because of the empty tomb. It obliterates it, giving you freedom to pursue God as you were meant to do, because you were not meant to live in fear all the time. Now, here's why we need to deal with fear as God's people this morning. There are two ways that fear debilitates us. Number one, it keeps us from confessing our sins to others and to God. Because of what? Shame. You are afraid of people judging you. You are afraid of people knowing you're junk. You are afraid of being known by others, and you are afraid of it being exposed to God. But the truth of the Bible is God knows all things. And the way that you deal with things is when you confess it to other brothers and sisters of the faith. But we have fear of that, don't we? The second way that fear debilitates you like a cancer is that it prevents us from living as representatives, figures for Jesus and his kingdom. It hinders everything you do. You are not meant to live tied down to something called fear your whole life. So it keeps you from living the way and to the life that God has called you to do. So let's first talk about the first effect this morning. How does it keep us from confessing, and how debilitating is that in our ability to deal with sin? Which is, actually, I thought about this week. Do you know that's been with us from the very beginning? Look with me right now to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, beginning in verse 9. Check this out. As we think about this, this is right after Adam failed his wife, left her alone, was not leading her well, and this is right after Eve heard the serpent and ate of the fruit. This is right after the fall. In the beginning, listen to the words here. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam has never been afraid like this. I'm not saying there was never fear in Adam's life. I'm sure there's a certain amount of fear is okay. Adam's in the garden. He's naming animals. That's a crocodile. It eats things. It's got big teeth. Let's not go take a ride on it to name it, right? I don't know. Fear could be a good thing at that point, right? Just as we all should know, anger is not necessarily a sin unless you fall and take it too far. But here in the garden, it was the first thing, the first way that Adam reacted to his sin and to the sin of his wife. Fear is the great wall that keeps us from going to God when we need him the most. Would you say that? We all like sin, and so we all like Adam have sinned. And instead of going to God for mercy, we run and hide, and we cover our shame with man-made attempts at reconciliation, whether we do a bunch of works to show God we're okay or we don't need him. We try to hide the facts of the things that we have done. We all do that. That's fear of God. Prior to Jesus' resurrection, what we're talking about here today, in the Old Testament, you know, over 80 times in the Old Testament, God says something, fear not. He's always telling us, don't be afraid. Ever since we started sinning, God's been like, hey, chill out. I will make a way for you. If you will but confess and turn back to me, O Israel, I will fulfill my obligations in the covenant to you. I will bless you. I will give you this land. I will take care of you. I will love you. When I found you, you weren't worthy of this. Fear not. Over and over and over and over again. Till thousands of years later, it took the cross and the resurrection to get people's attention. You need to know that you don't have to be afraid because I poured out my wrath on somebody else. So now, as we said, fear, though, not only blocks our ability to confess sin, but it prevents us from living like Christ. How many of you all want to live like Jesus today? We want that, don't we? As a Christian, you should want that. It prevents us from that. Walking into life situations that may be hard or sometimes dangerous, and yet it may be the path that God is calling us to. By the way, the only way you're ever going to experience true joy and life of freedom is you've got to walk through those paths sometimes, don't you? Fear keeps you from doing that, by the way. The Greek word for fear, found in Matthew 28 here, verses 5 and 10, when they talk about don't be afraid, it's the word phobos, from which we get our psychiatric word describing irrational fears. You would guess it, right? Phobia, right? Scientists say that this particular fear stems from the same area of the brain, the optula amygdala, which is made famous by the Waterboy movie. Some of you didn't even know that thing existed. Go YouTube that. It's a funny scene. Now, I wouldn't advise doing what he did, though. It's right behind the pituitary gland here in the front, whereby we make the decision of fight or what? Flight. That's what tells you to do that. Now, I'm going to add a third category. I think they missed one. I'm going to add another word here. You call the scientific journals. You ready for the third one? Freeze. How many of y'all, when you get scared, you're just like, it's kind of hard to move sometimes, right? I've encountered, even amongst my own members, my own family, the bewilderment of phobias and what it could bring and do harm to your family. I've seen a whole lot of, I've never seen the fight in my family. I've always seen flight and freeze, though, for some reason, right? How many of y'all with me? This is the time of year when spiders start coming out. One gets in your house. What do? My family, they flee. They run. Daddy, and then they go. They scatter, right? Especially in the fall when the wolf spiders come out and they carry all the little eggs. Okay, that's a sick thing. You need to run from that. That's a horrible picture, right? But in that, I remember the other day, a couple years ago, Heather and I went to a, this is funny how fear affects us, like phobias and how irrational they are. We went to a football game. We were watching the Falcons at a preseason game. They were playing the Dolphins, best team in the league, right? But in that, that's my home team in case you're visiting. So in that, we were second deck nosebleed section. And we get out, we walk out, you know, you walk out that door. And when you walk out the door at the top, the chairs don't go nice slope like this. Have you all been there? It goes like this, doesn't it, right? Every step is a row, so you goes down like this. I walk out and go to my seat. I'm sitting down. I'm in 5 minutes, I notice that my wife's not with me. I'm just like Adam, aren't I? Where'd she go? What's going on? And I look up about 50 feet away, and she's up at the top. She's got a death grip on the railing, and she's laughing. And she's looking down, and go, oh, my gosh. I'm not moving. And she wouldn't come down. I had to leave my chair, go up and get her and walk her down, right? Right? That's phobia. You need to pray for her, right? And see, it seems like so many of you are encountering some of the same. As a matter of fact, I think as you get older, it gets a little bit worse, that irrational feeling. Honey, that's just your Abdullah. We'll take it. We'll remove that one day. Don't worry about that. It's okay. We'll fix it. All right? But we get this paralyzing fear sometimes. Fear can be paralyzing. Would you agree with me? Like metaphorically, right? It just keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Which is life-threatening, though, when it prevents you from doing two very basic things. It threatens your eternal life when you can't confess sin. Would you call that threatening? That's dangerous if you always are running from God, like, I don't want to talk about this. That's a problem. The second way that's very debilitating is that it keeps you from not going where God is leading you, being like Christ. Whether you're a Christian and you want to do like Jesus, but you're always, I don't know if I could do that. Or maybe you're still seeking him this morning and you're still running from God because of your sin. It debilitates us. It prevents us from living as we should. And most of the time, though, our fear is unfounded. Meaning, it's not that you've necessarily encountered that which you are afraid of. It's just a thought of like something's going to happen one day. How many of y'all have that irrational fear, right? Listen to this. I just thought about this past week. Most of us in this room have a fear of cancer. Yet most of us have never dealt with it. Now some have. I'm not saying most of us never dealt with it, but we got a fear of it. Most of us have a fear of retirement, but I can count on my hand in here this morning how many of you all have actually retired. Most of us have a fear of sharks. None of you live by the beach. You watched Jaws one too many times. It was on again the other day, right? I'm the only guy that lived by the beach growing up probably in here. Maybe a couple of y'all, right? And I've actually bumped heads with a shark, and I'll still go swimming. It's a phobia. Most of us have fear of falling to our deaths, but you know, statistically, that ain't going to happen for any of you. Most of us have a fear of dying. Well, you're here, aren't you? It hasn't happened yet. Irrational. Irrational fears, right? So the bottom line is this. Here's what I'm trying to say. Is everybody suffers from irrational fear every day. It freezes us from confessing our sin to one another and living for God the way that we were supposed to. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his encouragement to his young protege Timothy. Some of you understand, okay, he had a guy, he discipled, his name was Timothy. He was helping him plant churches. He was doing the work. Paul was sending him out. He was to lead the church and fend off the wolves in Ephesus. But the problem is, Ephesus had a lot of people who were a lot older than Timothy. But Paul offered his encouragement here in this one sentence of a letter I want to read to you. And it's the same encouragement that all Christians are to keep in mind, because the Bible is for all of us, right? Listen to this verse. It's going to be on the screens this morning. 2 Timothy 1:7 reads like this. For God gave us a spirit not of what? Fear. But of what? Power and... Anna? Does that sound like all of us this morning? We got a problem then, don't we? We all got something we need to confess this morning. We are not to be a people that jump and attack sometimes or something scares us. Right? You're not supposed to be fighting everything all the time. Some of you argue more with everybody else in this world, online and whatever, and Facebook, because you're just scared. We don't run away from confrontation every time it comes a calling, and we don't freeze and waste an opportunity to glorify God. We're not supposed to do that. No, God's people are to be like Christ as when he faced the cross. Now listen to me. He had the power of Spirit of God upon him, by which he controlled his life up to the end, not saying one more word than what he should have to Pilate, the Sanhedrin, or Herod. It is as you say I am. And he shut his mouth as they struck him, and they tortured him, they humiliated him, and only then did he give up his life of his own voice on the cross. It is finished. He did it with power and love and self-control. And all of that driven by his love for God and then his love for us. Church, are you in agreement with me this morning that Jesus did it the right way? Amen? So this morning, I want to declare to you the glory of the gospel. And I want to give you the gospel about the resurrection this morning and its power to obliterate your fears. I'm not saying you're going to walk out cured. I'm not saying you're ever not going to have a problem again. I'm just saying I want to equip you. God wants to give you something that helps you remember next time you're scared, remember the empty tomb. We all feel it from time to time, don't we? But fear is never to be taken, listen to me, it's never to be taken as something you live by. It's a feeling. We don't live by feelings, we live by faith. Did I say that loud enough there? Did everybody wake up right there? Let me say that again. We do not live by feelings, we live by faith alone, because that's how we are saved. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of, this is our motto. It's what we live by. So my main point this morning that I hope you leave with this way, this morning is this. Fear must give way to the empty tomb. It has to. And if you're having a problem with it, we invite you to live with us as we battle it together. All right? So I've got three ways this morning of how does fear begin to give way in your life to the empty tomb. Here's our first one this morning. It's in your bulletin this morning. It's this one. Fear gives way to belief because of the empty tomb. Fear gives way first to belief. It has to start there. It has to start in your mind which goes to your heart, which you start living like that because of the empty tomb. Let's go back to verse 2 this morning. And it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled, and they became like dead men." We were talking about that in our class this morning. The why does Matthew use that terminology, earthquakes and lightning? It's like getting hit by, you ever been in your house and you get a thunderstruck that hit right by your house? And what happens to your house? You see the flash and you just happen to catch it and you're waiting for it for about 2 seconds, all of a sudden, and you hear that big rumble and a big ba-boom when it goes off. Can you imagine being these dudes right there when the stone got rolled back? The angel shows up with a bright white light and the ground shakes. Would you be afraid? It'd be an awesome thing. Zach was talking to me today. It'd be an awesome thing to see, though, wouldn't it? What a story to tell your kids. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid," he says, "for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come see the place where he lay." First off, there were two sets of people there that day. There were the guards who, here in our story, they kind of represent the folks that because of change, they were now afraid. Everything had just changed in a blink of an eye, and it just struck them. And they were down with abject fear on the ground. The second group of people here that are affected by this, there are the women who are afraid of change to come. That's why they went to the tomb. This had changed everything in their life. We're going to talk about them in our next point. Afraid to lose what Jesus had brought them. See, change is one of the biggest catalysts of fear in people's lives, isn't it? How many of y'all don't like change? Oh, come on now. All right, Bill, remember this, but they don't raise your hand today, because next time we change something here, they can't say that. How many of y'all don't like change? Yeah, it's about 80% of you, right? Okay, Bill, see, get them to tell the truth sometimes. Some of you, we change something. I mean, change a rose in here. It's like, oh my gosh, right? And we freak out about it. We don't like change. Change is one of the biggest catalysts of leading us into fear in our lives. The empty tomb tells all people that change, listen to this, change is the only constant thing in life. In the world, because God, watch this, is always in the process of redeeming creation. Things will always be changing because God is always making them better. He's always recreating us. He's always recreating you. He's always fixing things. He's always using sin, people, sinful people, to reveal his glory. It's always changing. The angel says, come look, watch this, it's all changed. Would you have had the courage to look in that tomb this morning, or would you have walked off? See, you like change. So Jesus' resurrection, the empty tomb, tells us that every time something happens in our lives, it doesn't mean our doom, but it means God is active in your life, causing you to reach out to him, to pray to him. Here's the truth. Prayer is putting your faith in Jesus because you are believing he's raised from the dead and that he can actually hear you. He's got eardrums. He's got earlobes. Do you know that? Because he's in a physical body. He is listening to us right now. Fear diminishes the more you pray because you're putting faith that someone can hear you. Listen, here's the truth. Only a living God can answer your prayers. Amen? Your God is alive. He's not dead. He is risen. Let's try that one more time. He is risen. Indeed. Thank you very much, right? Because only a living, omniscient, that means all-knowing God, knows the pitfalls you're going to encounter before you ever pray for them, right? He knows it all. Only a living, omnipresent God who is everywhere at one time through his Spirit knows that when you're going to face fears and is there with you. And only an all-powerful God, omnipowerful, can deliver you through the valley of death, if that is what you're called to, whether it's in this life or he'll deliver you to the next life and preserve your faith. That is why you pray. There's only one God that does that. His name is Jesus right now. The empty tomb, by belief in it, declares it is time for change and it is time for your fear to give way to it. Amen? All right, the second way that fear must give away, this is a good one, is it gives way to joy because of the empty tomb. How many of you would say you're joyful this morning? I just got caffeine, but I'm doing okay. Number 7, verse 7. It says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." The angel's joyful, right? Go, hurry up. "And behold," that means, remember we said that last week, that means something unusual here is happening. "Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. Behold means like the dead has risen. That's why you're going to see him. That's strange. The angel said you should like be surprised about this, right? So they departed quickly from the tomb with, look at that, fear and great joy. Fear's not bad in this case. We'll talk about it in a second. And he ran to tell, and they ran to tell his disciples. So you're seeing here in the text what it looks like when fear gives way to belief. It begins to give way. It begins to shrink back. Their course of action was, hey, let's not go see if he's right. That wasn't what it was here. It was the reaction of people filled with conviction and hope. They left him with fear and joy. This is actually an example of the good fear of God that we all need to have, by the way. You need to have some fear of God, amen? Respect, it refers to the feeling of respect and humility directed toward a divine being. Jesus had earned. If you think not, we have an issue today. And he was rewarded with respect that day. So I have a couple observations about this morning. First thing is to understand that the path to joy comes first through the fear of disbelief. Look, to get to be happy, you're going to have to battle with that which you're afraid of. These ladies, here's what was going on. I told you guys in my class this morning, we're going to talk about this morning. They could not believe. They were having a hard time coming to grips with what had happened to their Lord. Would you? What the crucifixion had actually ended in their lives. The death of their Lord meant that the new freedoms that they had gained in Jesus, in his presence, under his care, under his supervision, guess what? We're now gone. In those days, you got to understand something. Women had no rights. If you would call yourself a feminist in this room this morning, whatever that is, it's not good or bad. Jesus is your biggest defender. He came for equal rights for all men and women. Their value, so here's what it is. But Jesus viewed them not with the worth, he viewed them not for the worth of the world, but he viewed them how God had created man and woman, both in the image of God. Their value came not from what they could offer him, Jesus, but it was placed on them for what because he had everything to offer them. They got their value not by what they did, they got their value by who they loved. It was through the path of fearing the unknown, not freezing, not just stopping. I don't want to look in there. I don't want to stay home. I don't want to hide today. Ladies, we need to hear this. They faced the world because they had Jesus, and they wouldn't want to lose him. It drove them out of their homes. And it was through the path of fearing the unknown, not freezing, not stopping, but giving into the pursuit of closure and facing that grave that they did receive actually the best news in their lives. Look, this was the point of their life. It was all going to change. You know, we talked about it in our class this morning, but they had never got to say goodbye to the Lord. Do you know that? The disciples were the last one that saw him. The ladies would have served him at that Last Supper that night, and then he died. This was their opportunity to look him, try to see his body, touch him, if the guards will even let them near him. Who are they going to ask the guards to open the tomb? What were they going to expect? They were just wanting to see his body one more time so they could have closure. They had to face a lot of pain that morning. To walk out, to wake up, to get their clothes on. Ladies, some of you a lot of mornings don't want to get out of bed because you're going to have to face your kids. It's hard, isn't it? That's what they were doing here. But it was through that path that they got the best blessing of their life. Maybe you've got a situation in your life that you're refusing to look at. Could it be that the reason you are lacking joy in your life is that you just don't want to face it that much? Let me go on for a minute. Think about that. Second thing here I want to make an observation about is that their fear and joy was not because they had seen him yet, but it was delivered to them out of faith. Someone say amen. They didn't see him yet. They left with joy. Why? Get to faith, baby. God gave it to them. You believe in him. That belief of the empty tomb when going through their fear, it brought them joy. They didn't lose hope. They got hope when they saw the empty tomb. Joy is the realization that something has just, guess what, changed. Joy comes from the process of change. Joy comes when God turns everything upside down in your life. Joy, that's when joy happens. They were fearful, not about possibly not finding Jesus, but because they were excited about what type of Jesus would they find. They're excited about that. They have been rewarded with joy from the empty tomb, for it put them in the proper view of a Jesus that death could not hold. That's what they were excited. They were wanting to see the guy that got up from the ground, that death could not hold him. Possibly this morning, my family, you're frozen because there is some bad news you just don't want to hear. There could be some decisions that you know that you need to make, some things that you need to let go of, but you are afraid to move because of a what-if consequence, irrational. But your path, like these ladies, is no different if you want to experience the full joy that only comes from knowing that Jesus is near to you and real. And that means you have to go through challenges that seem unpleasant for you. Did y'all catch that? Joy comes from that dark path and facing your fear. The empty tomb is the promise to you and I that there's a very real and live Jesus waiting for you on the road as well. Are you excited to find him? Is there the sense of fear and joy in your heart at what he can do and who you will find? Do you have that? Has he cultivated the proper fear of God in your heart this morning by what he has overcome? Then rejoice, for that joy in your heart means that fear has begun to finally give way. That's my prayer for all of us this morning, is that when you walk out, you believe a little bit more than when you came in this morning and have some of that joy. And this brings us to our third thing and our last thing this morning, is that fear must give way to obedience because of the empty tomb. Oh, now here comes the work of it, right? The work of the gospel. Picking up verse 9. And it says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. That right there should let you know when you're reading the text right there, the girls were afraid to touch him like they used to. They were expecting to find God in flesh. They found him and they grabbed his feet to worship him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. He saw their fear. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. See, the author Matthew here is careful to spell out something for us here. Don't miss this. This is no ghost. This is no spirit form. There's been a lot of hypocritical doctrines taught about how Jesus wasn't really in the flesh anymore. Matthew is pointing out to you and I he was in the flesh here. This is no hallucination. Jesus spoke first to them. He spotted them first. And they fell down and grabbed his physical feet. They were rewarded with more joy and more respect because of their faith. Because they went through their dark past first. Their fear gave way first from belief in the empty tomb. And then their fear shrank away more as joy was increasing. And their apprehension over him of trying to find him. And here, fear got obliterated because they were rewarded with the Lord's presence. Do you see the path of life for all of us right there? Facing your fear, walking through that dark moment and finding Jesus. How do you get rid of fear? You start seeking him. You seek him. Fear is conquered. God had found his people, not hiding in shame as in the garden, but he had flipped the tables and now sinners came running to him because he had already paid the price for sin. And they are rewarded not with earthly blessings, but rewarded with the ability to do what they were created to do now. The thing that you and I want to do, the thing that you and I were made to do, you know what that is? Worship God. You don't get to do that until you've discovered this. Your best moment in your life is when you can finally fall at Jesus' feet after you've walked through your fear and want nothing but him. That's salvation. So, that's what God wants for all of us this morning. Listen to me, so you hear the truth of this. He punished his son for us so that we could be done with our fear. God slaughtered a lamb on Calvary as he killed an animal in the garden those years before that and covered his people with what he did so that you would not live in fear of his condemnation. That's the truth of the cross. The result of worship and joy is always the same thing, though, to this. It's obedience. As the ladies were at this feet, Jesus never stops the directions. Watch this. He's like, yeah, hey, how you doing? We got to go do something. He says, what? Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers, guys. There is nothing like sharing the joy you have when you're excited about something, is there? You know, y'all are disciple makers, by the way. You're disciple makers of whatever you love the most. You like fishing, you like hunting, you like the work you do. Don't you talk about it? Jesus knows that. This is the same thing. Jesus knows that for these ladies, he was the best thing in their lives. Now go and tell someone about it. Go and tell my brothers. It's the same way we make disciples. It's the way that God fuels our lives for continual resistance against fear. See, here's the deal. If you want to continually leave here today and be able to deal with your fear, do you know how you do it? You continually talk about Jesus. If you don't continually talk about him and tell people how he's affecting your life, fear comes creeping back in. A lot of it is you speaking back about what God is doing in your life. You hear it, and faith gets reconstituted all the time. This morning, my people, here's my prayer as we close. Here's my prayer for us this morning, is that we start becoming a people that are done with debilitating force of fear in our lives. May fear, let me make this statement here and I'm done. May fear this morning give way by our belief in the empty tomb. For he is risen, church. May fear give way this morning by joy over the empty tomb. For he is waiting for you in all the paths of your life. You go find him. And may fear give way this morning by the obedience so that our joy may increase and sharing with others what we love the most, our Lord Jesus. That's my prayer for you today. Let us pray together now. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word that fear must give away. It must give way to our belief in the empty tomb, to the joy that comes from the empty tomb, and by the obedience we live because of the empty tomb. Father, my prayer is for all of us today that we have confessed and saw this morning, dear Lord, that fear is a natural part of our lives that we have to deal with every day. It keeps us from confessing our sin to you and to each other, and it debilitates us from living as Christ lived, full of self-control, love, and power. Father, we ask that right now. We know that when we walk out, we will not live perfectly like Jesus, but by your work of your Spirit, we will be a little better today. And as we live our lives, you will continually show us the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. He hears. He walks with us. He talks with us. He guides us through all of our paths, Lord. Help us to find your Son in all the paths of life, dear Lord, to be changed by him and to live with hope so that we may glorify his name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.